This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
Thank you. This is Brian Gosch, House Majority Leader, District 32, Rapid City. We are just completing the fourth week of session. The bill count, I believe, is 247 in the House after the final day to introduce individual bills, and I think the Senate is 169, so we're looking at just under 400 bills in the legislature this year. That's down a little bit. There could have still have been bills introduced through committee today, and there still could be in the committees that start at 10 o'clock. So we'll have our final bill count by 10:30 today in the House, because that's the deadline to introduce those committee bills. And in the, when's the Senate going in? 1 o'clock?
Yeah.
1 o'clock. So the deadline would be 11 o'clock today on the Senate side to introduce those bills. On the House side, a lot of bills came in that this week, so committee work is going to be very busy. There are limited days for the committees to meet, and you could have some committees that have additional meetings that meet in the afternoon to get through their bill loads. Yesterday, during the bill assignment process of the floor session, there were a lot of bills you could hear being assigned to committee, and so the committee work will have to be really efficient to get through all those bills.
Good morning, Senator Craig Tease in District 34 from Rapid City. I'm much the same, I think, in the Senate. We will have our workload laid out for us now with the bill introductions. I think many of us will go home this weekend and we'll have questions from constituents about this bill or that bill, and we probably won't have a clue because we've been focused on work on our side probably haven't even had a chance to read all the introductions that have taken place in the last couple of days or few hours. So it'll be a lot of catching up, and then as Representative Gosch said, we'll have a lot of committee work to try to get done. I think 24th is crossover day, so it'll be here before we know it. There'll be a lot of committee work and a lot of discussions along the way.
Senator Ernie Otten, District 6, T. Lennox, Harrisburg, and Southern Sioux Falls. I think that is about right. We've had a slow start, I think. I think our bill count is down just because of everybody's realizing what we're going to be dealing with the two main issues, which would be education and Medicaid. So looking forward to being a very, very busy next few weeks.
Yeah, I wish my assistant majority could hog in all the mic time and let some of us talk. But are there any questions by the media?
All right, so the governor's bills are officially out there. Where's your party standing on those bills now that they're officially out there?
Senate bills 131 through 133 are the education bills to which I'm sure you're referring. That has really the meat and substance of the Blue Ribbon Task Force and now the governor's plan as a result of the task force recommendations. Those have been assigned to Senate State Affairs on Tuesday. I don't think they've been scheduled for a hearing yet. House Bill 1182 is the 0.5% sales tax increase. That was also introduced on Tuesday through the Appropriations Committee. The Speaker has not assigned that bill yet. And so that just puts everything off and delays that whole process for when that bill gets a hearing and then gets a vote on the House floor. So it remains to be seen yet what's going to happen with that and what the timing of that will be. But through the weekend, then, all the legislators should have had an opportunity to read through those proposals as introduced. And they're going to be similar to what the Blue Ribbon Task Force recommended, but there are some variations in that. And from the House perspective, one of the consistent things we've heard from our members is they want more accountability. So if the commitment's going to be there for that much additional revenue for K-12 and for teacher pay, they want accountability to make sure that money actually gets to the teachers.
So would you say at this moment then most Republicans are completely on board with the governor's bills at this point on education?
That's tough to say. Sometimes you get an indication that there is a lot of support, and then something happens along the way, and it quickly shifts. I've seen bills start discussion on bills start on the House floor where it seems like there might be three no votes, and by the end of the discussion, there's three yes votes. So it's just hard to say, but the general feeling is that there's a lot of desire to do something. That I can say for sure. What it is exactly remains to be seen, but I think there's going to be generally a support for the plan and to do something.
But to build on that, I think that there just wants to be some form of accountability that's assured that, I think the citizens of South Dakota have also spoken that they would like to see a plan that are ensuring that 100% of those dollars does go to teachers. So I think here in the legislature, we want to make sure that there's some form of accountability to ensure that as we continue to fund education at the levels that we are, that teachers are getting it. And so, again, we already know that within education, the state is funding it at 40th, but yet teacher pays at 51st. So we want to make sure that what we're funding is going to the teachers at the end of the day.
I would agree. I think there is a mandate, if you'd call it that, to do something. I think we've reached that point. Obviously, the governor's plan is a plan. I think there's a lot of people that want to explore other options to see if there are other options besides the sales tax or besides a tax increase. Having worked on the Blue Ribbon Task Force, I think the trick is going to be find something that's sustainable because, if in fact we're going to impact teacher pay, it's not something that we can do this year and then not be able to do it in succeeding years. So we have to be looking for a sustainable plan that we can continue into the future.
I would concur with the colleagues. I think that from my read on the Senate and what I've heard from other folks is that we do want to accomplish something. Now, what that something is yet remains to be seen. I've just started going through on the Senate side, doing a hard read of them, not totally through all of it. I think that there are areas that are good, but then again, with going back to what the representatives were saying, that accountability issue has to be there. And we've got to make sure that it is a stable base. I don't want to principally have something done that is a one-year fix. So we're looking at long-term.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe one of the governor's bills builds in accountability, correct?
And I can touch on that a little bit. It talks about it, but it doesn't provide any type of penalty if they don't live up to those standards. And so that's kind of the big question. And right now there's no teeth in it. There's a goal. But there's no consequence within that legislation to say, well, what if they don't meet that goal? What happens? In criminal justice area, we've talked about swift and certain sanctions. There's no swift and certain sanctions written into this bill to get the desired goal. So from the House perspective, I would tell you that the general consensus is that's not going to be acceptable. There'd have to be more teeth into that.
And just to add upon that, I think, too, within the governor's bill, the accountability portion that I think you might be referring to is actually just for 1 year. And so I think that something that's going to be looked at is ongoing.
I think that accountability certainly is a big deal. That was an issue that the Blue Ribbon Task Force talked about a lot. I know we talked in the task force that, if we send money for teacher pay and then audit and find out that it hasn't gone to teacher pay in a particular district, that, we cut that district off and they don't get that degree of payment in the following year. And I would concur that I think that we need to make sure that process is in place because, frankly, we have a lot of teachers that, aren't convinced that it's going to get to them, and we need to prove to them and to ourselves that is going to happen.
Also along those lines, when you don't have accountability, you can kind of see what happens in the area of reserve funds. Without cap requirements, without any types of restrictions on how fast and how much they can grow those accounts. Over the last 5 years, the capital outlay fund, the reserve fund, has grown from about $100 million to $200 million. The general reserve fund has grown from about $194 million to $226 million. So there's $426 million the school districts currently have in their hands, in their pockets, available for their expenses, including teacher pay. That gets back to the point of the system majority leader when he said, you know, we're funding schools under the blue ribbon numbers, 40th in the nation, but we're paying our teachers 51st. So why in South Dakota does 40 equal 51? Well, part of the reason is they're holding on to those funds. They're stockpiling those reserves. They're not passing it on to the teachers. Some of the data I looked at has shown how both of those reserve accounts have grown past inflation. The general reserve accounts statewide, you know, to the tune of over $60 million, those accounts have grown past inflation. The capital outlay fund passed inflation by about $111 million. So when you look at it in that sense, how they've grown past inflation, in my opinion is that's like looking at ongoing funds available for continued increases in teacher pay. And so I think accountability has to get into those areas as well, and the governor's plan does have that with some caps on reserves and how reserves are used.
To be fair, this is not a uniform problem across the state. It varies widely from district to district. I do think it needs to be addressed, obviously, and there's a provision in there to address that. But you know, not all schools have big reserves funds. Some have extraordinarily large ones. It varies widely by jurisdiction.
So will there be a bill put forth by Republicans to ensure accountability, and what would that look like?
We are working on that on the House side as part of discussions that we're having. One of the ways that we're looking at it is to, along the lines of SWIFT and certain sanctions, is to, after providing the additional money, if it doesn't go to the teachers as proposed, then there would be a reduction in the amount they would get. So if they miss their goal by 30% of where we want a teacher pay to go, then that 30% they miss by, there would be some reduction in what they get next year. Not necessarily dollar for dollar, it could be, or it could be 90% of that mark, something along those lines.
Are there any alternate plans to the governor's bills in the works right now, and who's working on them?
Well, on our side, it's way too early. We have to wait to see what the House is doing. And we're also thinking, and I think that both chambers are, it takes two-thirds. So this is a broad thought process that is going on. And to be quite frank, we are under the gun with the amount of days that we've got left before crossover of getting something in between the chambers. So I, at this time, I can't answer that.
And when you're talking about something different, really, there's two issues. One is the substantive plan about changes in funding formula and capital outlay distribution, technology, things like that. And then a separate issue is how do you fund it? So the governor proposed 0.5% sales tax increase. And so Representative Russell has a bill that dealt with video lottery, which I have not had a chance to read yet. So that's an alternative plan. I think mostly pertains to funding. We in House leadership are working on a plan in the event the tax increase fails, that you can still go forward with the substantive issues with an alternative funding source. So you're identifying existing revenues in the plan then to move forward. So it wouldn't eliminate the proposals completely. You would just have a different funding mechanism for that.
And is one of those using the capital outlay funds, the reserve funds?
Not the reserve funds per se, but changing how capital outlay is assessed and at what mills, that is one of the items of discussion.
Is that preferable for you, or would you prefer the tax increase?
I'll kind of answer that. I think the key thing, whatever option that we end up at the end of the day, is I think we owe accountability to the taxpayers here in the state of South Dakota. And whatever plan we do, we have to make sure that those extra dollars go to teacher pay. And I think one of the other issues that we have to look at here is whatever plan we do look at, and if it is a tax increase, we have to look at the impact that that's going to have on the other people in the state of South Dakota. And when you look at other professions, whether you look at nurses, plumbers, those types of people that are also last in their career professions, what impact is it going to have on them as well? So I think, you know, as the leader on the House has just spoken about plans being proposed, there's multiple options being looked at. But at the end of the day, what our ultimate outcome would be is to make sure that we add additional dollars to teacher pay going forward.
As I said last week at our Cracker Barrel, I think the final plan has to be possible and it has to be passable. It has to be a plan that provides sufficient funding that can be sustained into the future, however we come about doing that. I think we have an obligation to make sure the plan is sustainable. And then ultimately it has to be passable. If it's new funding, it requires a two-thirds vote. So we have to take that always into consideration. We accomplish nothing if we have a plan that ultimately is not passable.
Is a tax increase passable in an election year?
We're always in an election year. I mean, every 2 years we're running, so that's a non-issue. It is the beast. As soon as you get it elected, I mean, you're on goal for another run, so.
It can make a difference, I think, because you just had a tax increase last year for the gas tax, and to do tax increases back-to-back, and then, like you said, in an election year, I think when people are looking at that, it does factor into it a little bit. You do have the higher threshold as well, and then there's just a general philosophy of, you know, should you fund something through higher taxes or existing revenue? Some Republicans are in the mindset of, and Democrats as well, you know, to live within your means. Look to that first before you take more money out of the taxpayer's pocket. Try to get that done that way, and then if that's not possible, then look at other sources. And then if it takes other sources, how important is it that to meet that that goal by doing that? Because there's a lot of programs that make their case every year for additional dollars, and we have to say no because the pie is only so big. And so we try to live in a fiscally conservative world in South Dakota. We have so far. We balance our budget. We do so without raising taxes, and that's kind of the competing philosophies there.
If you believe the governor's poll, I think if it is necessary to raise a half-cent sales tax, I think it is possible.
I'm going to jump in on that one. I'm sorry, because that poll asked 500 people, as I recall. There was a poll that took place November 4th, 2012, where almost 400,000 South Dakotans were asked in an initiated measure, and 200,000 said no. And that was 57%. So there's all kinds of different polls you can take a look at. And you know, I guess ultimately if a tax increase were to pass and it were referred to the ballot, we would find out again if South Dakotans actually supported a 0.5% sales tax increase.
But let's also talk about the poll that the governor has distributed here over the last couple of weeks. The thing that you got to point out that the citizens are thinking is, you know, that they would consider it if 100% of the money went to teacher pay. And I think the worst thing that we could do here is to do something like that and look back 2 years from now and know that there is no change. I mean, there was a story on one of the channels here this morning from a superintendent talking about the fact that he doesn't believe that he's going to be able to accommodate the wishes of achieving the teacher salary. You know, the wording around the Capitol since we began is being bold, and I think being bold is going to be on both sides. And for this plan to work, whatever the plan is, it's going to be being bold on not only from the legislative side, but also on the school administrative side as well.
Democrats are proposing a 1 cent sales tax. Would anyone from your party be in support of that?
I would not. I think that their proposal, that as I'm understanding it, would also take off the table our tax on groceries. while looking at it on the outside, it looks like a good thing. The problem is with our tax structure within South Dakota. And when you start going into the rural areas of South Dakota, the smaller communities, and you start looking at their tax base on how they're running actual local government, you find out that the grocery store is one of those items that actually generates a lot of income for the localities. So by doing something like that, then we're going to have to come up with some proposal of how to backfill that void. And I don't see that as a workable option this year.
So are you saying that the 1 cent sales tax, that's the increase, that's not going to fly at all? I mean, is that...
I would just jump in on that. You don't know until the vote takes place. And I can't say there'd be no support. I haven't polled our members to see if they support the 1% sales tax increase idea or not. And that'll get debated in a committee like all bills. Has it been introduced? Have you seen it? Okay, then I'm guessing if they haven't dropped a bill for that, then there must be planning on doing it as an amendment to something. Maybe 1182, it's just hard to say what they're exactly proposing. So until we see it, you know, we don't know. Until it gets debated and then you hear it, then you won't know exactly. Good questions today, though.
I want to clarify on that. On the Senate side, I have not polled anybody either. I am saying personally, myself, I could not support that.
And I think that Senator Otten makes a good point about the ramifications it has to local governments as well. And, you know, back to my possible and passable, at this point it would seem to me that there was less chance that option would be ultimately passable.
Switching gears really quickly, any update on Medicaid expansion? Any update on where your party stands with that?
I made an inquiry today. I think by late afternoon, the governor's office was supposed to hear from CMS. I had checked just to see if by chance they had heard anything by now, and they had not. So I don't have anything new to offer.
If that deal does go through, does your party support expanding Medicaid under that deal? Are you getting a lot of support from your party on that, or is there a division?
Yeah, again, we're finishing up the fourth week here of session, and I think it's important that we really see the details. And I think, as I've mentioned in the past, the devil will be in the details or whatever is ultimately there. And I think it would be premature for any of us to speculate or even comment on it at this point until we actually see what that proposal coming forward is, if at all.
Thank you.
Yep.